back again. This time on a Tuesday. A little schedule shift. No big deal. We're here for the recap of Sunday's debacle, whatever you want to call it. I'm not in my usual joyous mood today. I mean, sometimes I can laugh a loss off, and it's just because we know we're going through growing pains. But I think we know each other so well at this point, Tubby, that we know that when we play a game like Sunday that you have a chance to win, that you should win, and you don't feel like laughing about anything anymore.
Not at all, man. Not at all. I felt gutted after this game. For some reason, I felt this game felt worse than the rest of them to me for some odd reason. I felt like, you know, just for whatever reason, we may have been. Yeah. This one definitely left a bad taste in my mouth for sure.
I'll tell you, this is what I felt like. Jalen Hurts sitting on the bench watching the defense give up play after play after play to the Chargers. Now, we've seen this all year long, and we've talked about it all year long, the problems that we have with our defense as far as being able to cover the pass. But this game kind of magnified it. It's come to a head. And this is what I looked like was a picture of Jalen Hurts just staring in space going, what can you do? There's nothing you can do in this situation. You just have to watch it happen. And I like I said, we've talked about Jonathan Gannon, and the name of this episode is Goodbye Gannon, because I want him gone.
100%.
I was looking over the past defensive coordinators that we've had in Philadelphia, and I can't remember one being this bad, even though it's early, just this bad of a defensive coordinator where his scheme is such garbage. We consistently allow quarterbacks in the NFL to pass over 80% on us. That's inexcusable from a defensive coordinator standpoint. If you've got really bad defensive backs, maybe if you've got some rookies like we did under Schwartz, where we had, you know, Green Goblin, these guys were getting burned, and Rasul Douglas, who was getting burned all the time. I get it. We got Darius Slay and Steven Nelson out there. We're giving up 80% completion rate. I think this is the fifth quarterback that we've given that up to, over 80%. There's just no excuse for this guy, and he's delusional, I think.
What makes Gannon so bad is that whatever gets exploited badly. So if we're giving up the run, we're like, we can't stop the run all game. If we're giving up the pass, we're like, we can't stop the pass all game. It's like, again, his lack of adjustments there. You know, we understand you're going to give up big plays here and there, but his lack of adjustments is the reason why he needs to be gone. It's the lack of adjustments, lack of scheme. You know, we'll talk about that as we go through, but it mainly just all comes down to scheme, man. This is a scheme issue. Like you said, you have Slay and Nelson. You don't know what to do with them. You're playing them like they are rookies. You're playing them like they don't know how to play corner, like they aren't experienced corners. And they're just continue to get exploited based off of the coverage, not their ability, the coverage. And that's when you have to go to the coach, because we're not questioning. I'm not going to question Slay and Nelson's ability right now. I'm going to question Gannon's ability to coach. So, yeah, man, I echo your sentiment as far as Gannon being gone, man, 100%.
You know, and it's not going to happen right away. And it may not even happen this season, even though it should. There's people that if you keep getting orders wrong at the McDonald's drive-through window, your butt's going to be out on the street. Because even though they need employees, they don't need them that badly where they're having to deal with complaints from the customers. And this guy's getting so many burgers wrong each and every week. And like you said, as far as like the unwilling to adjust, this is a guy that came out against Detroit and changed everything up because they had struggled against Tampa Bay and the Raiders. Changed it all up. Brought in blitz packages. Started doing some zone blitzes. Started using Edwards in a much bigger role to where he was putting pressure on the quarterback. You have great success, to quote Borat, great success. And then what happens is you go right back. I said it last week when I was predicting the game. The Chargers were 1.5-point favorites, and I said, I cannot take the Eagles until I see that this is what Gannon's going to do each and every week, that pressure defense. Because my belief was he was going to go back to the old ways, because he's facing a quarterback that he fears too much. I don't even want to say respects, because he fears these good quarterbacks. So he, and we talked about it when he gave the quote where he said that giving up 8 yards isn't as bad as giving up the bomb. Yes, it is. And he refuses to acknowledge that or adjust, because you're giving up 8 yards a clip all game long. You're going to lose. And it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to lose eventually. Because this game came down to a game of inches. And when you're doing that and you're giving up constant first downs, you can't win.
It's almost like either you're death by a guillotine or death by 1,000 swords. It's still death. You know, 1,000 paper cuts, if you will. It's still death. You're still leading to the same point. Your defense is so bad that I don't know if I text you, I was just thinking, and I was like, at least beat us deep at one time. Just enough of this. Enough. At least try to beat us deep on multiple occasions before we just continuously, you know, it got to the point, you seen Allen run so many routes clean. I mean, they were just clean routes. They look like warm-up routes.
Yeah,
where the guy is just kind of shadowing him, don't want to get him hurt, so you don't want to really be up on your star receiver. It'll like the special team coach or the wide receiver coach is out there just running drills with their wide receiver, just going through the motions. And yeah, man, I'm sick of it, man. The adjustments are they don't make good adjustments. And you know, I don't know how quick we want to jump into the stats.
Yeah,
no, Herbert was 16-16 against the zone.
Yeah,
against our zone. 100%. I know you mentioned 80% coming in. Just overall, how many quarterbacks, five quarterbacks have we given up 80 plus to? Yeah, against the zone, he was 16-16.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know if that stat was on here anywhere, but like, that's just that.
But look at his overall.
What are you supposed to do with that?
Look at his overall. 32 of 38 for 356 yards. Keep in mind that one of those incompletions was a spike into the ground to stop the clock. So technically, he was 32 of 37 against our defense, which, oh my, there are guys that have been fired for much less in this life. And this is not just an anomaly. This isn't just one game. This isn't like our beloved Broncos that you're getting ready to go see next week beating the Cowboys. You know, where it's kind of an anomaly. Cowboys had a bad game. They get beat by the Broncos. We know the Cowboys still a good team. This is the opposite of that. This is a trend. This is a constant thing. And like you said, trust your defense. Trust Slay and trust Nelson. Why are they 10 yards off the ball every single snap, where Keenan Allen and Williams can just run right by them because they're standing flat-footed? You don't give them an opportunity to make the play. You're just expecting them to catch up and not give up the big play. And it's ridiculous that you don't trust guys like Slay, who has a pedigree of being a cover corner and being able to be out on an island, and you don't trust him enough to get him at least within 2 to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, at least 5 yards of the line of scrimmage I'll take. And it just kills me the fact that they did what they did against Detroit because they didn't respect Jared Goff. They didn't respect the Lions, so they went to this high-pressure scheme, and he didn't learn anything. Because he went right back to everything that's lost him every single game this year. And now we're still winless at home. And I don't want to give the offense complete, you know, get them completely off the hook. Mm-hmm. But this is on Jonathan Gannon in the defense. This is his baby right now, without a doubt. It's ridiculous. So
they aren't allowing the Eagles to have tight games. You know, if you look across the NFL, you got like Bills losing to the Jaguars. It was a lot of strange scores out there, right? So one in particular, you know, Josh Allen not scoring a touchdown on Sunday can be completely overlooked due to how much they do score. But when your defense, at least their defense, still kept them in the game when Allen is having a bad game. I mean, bad doesn't even – I mean, this was a terrible game. Their defense was still keeping them in the game. 100%. And even though they still lost that game, here's a good team that even though their offense struggled, they still had something else to fall back on. They didn't win, but they had something else to fall back on. We don't have, you know, if Jalen Hurts isn't completing all his passes, I feel like we have nothing else to fall back on, because once defense gets on the field, you feel like you're going to give up points. And then it becomes just more pressure and more pressure, and every throw everybody's holding their breath on every third down now, because we know if we don't get this third down, we give up points. So there's a almost, you can have almost an anxiety if you're playing offense for the Eagles, to the point where you feel like you have to score every time down the field. And if you don't, it's going to look that much worse, particularly when you have a young quarterback that's still growing in all the progressions of the passing game. He's still growing and learning a new system. So, man, and we're talking about guys that have been in these systems and can still struggle. So we understand that quarterbacks can have struggle games, but it seems like a lot of times this year, man, no matter what game Hurts is having, our defense is still struggling.
Yeah, we've had.
So it's like, how do you win games? How do you win games, Lee? Yeah. How do you win games? If no matter what, your offense is still going to give up 80% completion.
Right. And that's the thing, is that the only time the defense has played well is when they didn't respect the quarterback, against the Falcons, against the Panthers, and against the Lions. That's the only time that Gannon's brought pressure. It seems like against big-name passers like Mahomes, Carr, Brady, and now Herbert, mm-hmm. he just backs off. He just backs off, and he plays that shell coverage, and not a single blitz to be found against the Chargers. This is a guy in Herbert that is dying to be pressured. And it sure as hell wasn't the other way, because we had Bosa flying at Hurts from all over. Our line, it struggled, and Hurts was able to make plays. But that was because they were bringing constant pressure. And I saw a lot in the news that said, well, this game is not just on Jonathan Gannon, it's on that really highly touted defensive line. And I get that. We've got four guys that are supposed to be able to get to the quarterback, and Cox and Hargrave, Sweat and Barnett. And they're not doing it. But my thing is that you can't just put four on five and expect them to get to the quarterback when you're leaving guys so wide open all over the field. Right. There's a two-way street in there, whereas if you at least play coverage tight, then you're give your defensive line more of a chance to get to Herbert, to where he doesn't automatically see somebody open. Because Herbert was getting the ball out fairly quick. It wasn't like we saw Herbert standing back there with 5 seconds to throw. Mm-hmm. He was just getting the ball out quick because nobody was covering the receivers within the first 10 yards of the field. Because we saw a couple of deep passes. You had the deep ball to Williams that was just a great catch, where Slay was on him. Slay was on him, and just Williams mm-hmm. made the catch. You saw a few like that, but you didn't see overwhelmingly the defense getting burned. They're just not there when the ball is caught. It's if you watched them, they were just 10 yards off the ball. So it's like like you said, though, it's funny because this was upset weekend. It was insane weekend. Jacksonville beating Buffalo. Yeah, the Giants beating the Raiders. Giants got a really decent defense, but especially playing at home. You had other games like that where the Vikings pushed the Ravens. But these teams that are the top teams that lost this weekend, their fans aren't mad. They're mad a little bit. They're disappointed they lost to Jacksonville. The Bills fans are, but they know what they've got, and 100%. so do we. And mm-hmm. you know, not to let the offense completely off the hook. You know, the game started out. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually had a pretty decent drive, and they get to the 45 mm-hmm. of the Chargers, and Hurts badly missed Goddard around the 10-yard line. Hurts mm-hmm. had a couple of passes like that where he overshot the target or threw you know, way wide. He was off target. He wasn't inaccurate as most games, though. But and you can't expect him to always make every single play. But you should.
Yeah, he rushed that throw, man. Yeah. He rushed the the pocket was – I mean, it was pressure. But it was still – Goddard was just that much open that you go, okay, you have to get it in the vicinity.
Yeah.
For Goddard to kind of have to make such an acrobatic, you know, catch, he tried to, like, one-tip it, you know, back to him, just couldn't really get to him. So, yeah, he was wide open. You have to make that. That's what makes it so bad, because it was like nobody within about 10 yards. But this is what I'm saying. With Hurts, every throw is an indictment. That's the defense is so bad that every throw, Hurts can't even afford to make that throw. No. Fucking Herbert missed that throw on the first drive.
Right.
To Allen. Missed a high throw. That could have went for a touchdown. Nobody cares, because they got a defense that can stop it, and they have an offense that's going to go through them. I keep going back to – I just feel like Jalen Hurts is in a no-win situation. This team is so bad. Meaning if Jalen Hurts was down, if anywhere else – I think the variable is that he's a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback that went through this Wentz debacle.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hurts is getting just incredibly just unfair treatment, man. You know, quarterbacks make bad throws. I watch a lot of football, man. Bad throws happen. I mean, spraying the ball all over the place. Hell, Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, yeah. Throwing the ball all over the place. But we can just – we can make it feel like – we can make Hurts feel like that one Goddard throw in the first fucking quarter changed the whole game.
Yeah.
And that is what is so disappointing about just the approach when it comes to Hurts. Because, you know, after that, they only punt the ball. They punt the ball.
Yeah.
They punt the ball in that drive, and they punt the ball twice the rest of the game. So we got that, and then we punt the ball two more times, and yet, you know, we can still mention accuracy. It's still these little surreptitious jabs at Hurts that really come from a deeper feeling. So at the end of the day, we don't have an identity on offense. Therefore, this young man does not know what the hell is going on most of the time. That's why when you see him sitting on there on the bench, this is the guy that's just sitting there like, man, I don't know what y'all want me to run the ball. Y'all want me to throw the ball. What is the scheme this week? I have to change based off of every week I have a coach that can't get it together on offense. What, do you want to run the ball, sir, or do you want to throw it? Last couple of weeks, we've thrown the ball, you know, we ran the ball. What, 36 times this week? We come out, we all know we need to run the ball. What did we do our first six? We threw the ball five times, right? We ran the ball once and then throw. We threw the ball five times in a row. And then you'll get these inflated numbers where you have 17 passing attempts from Hurts, and six of them was in like the first drive. Because right. We just tried to throw the ball six times. So I was telling East, like, here we go. Why are we throwing the ball five times in a row when we were trying to establish the run? I think it just comes out to, and then we doing RPOs, and we really don't need the RPOs. I think he did a really good job at reading the RPOs. But just overall, man, I'm just tired of coming out and saying, okay, what's going to happen this game? What's going to happen? It just seems like it's every week, man. Every week they start off without an identity, or they don't stick to it, same way on defense. And it just ends up, I think, blowing back in our face a lot of times where I really believe because of our lack of identity, every throw has to be perfect from Hurts, or he will be 100% scrutinized for it, man. He won't be looked at as a young quarterback. He'll be looked at as a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. He was down in Jacksonville. He'll be allowed to make all these mistakes, no problem. But when you're in Philly and you're coming off of, you know, fresh Super Bowl still 4 years and a quarterback that people still love and adore and Wentz and Foles, man, you're like the third girlfriend, I guess. Like, you're getting all the baggage. So maybe we need to trade Hurts so we can go to a better place for him. And we can bring in a quarterback with low expectations. And if he does good, cool. If he doesn't, cool. Like, you know, but the Hurts slander, it's almost I was watching the Eagles live chat right after the game. You could hear so many people saying, like, you guys are crazy to think this is Hurts' problem. You guys are crazy. Hurts is low-hanging fruit. That's what I say all that to say. Hurts is low-hanging fruit. And that's where I'll just leave it. Hurts is low-hanging fruit. You're the quarterback. It's going to be like that. But in particular, I think there's extra emphasis on Hurts. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think he has good poise. I think he has good leadership. And I think with the right coach, I think he's going to take off. Carson Wentz is still making the same mistakes in Indianapolis that he made his rookie season. He still hasn't progressed as a quarterback, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? He has that running back called Jonathan Taylor that is bailing him out and making him look way better. You know what I'm saying? Because he has that run game. You have Jonathan Taylor. Ugh. You can hide a lot of things. He doesn't have a Jonathan Taylor, but he has a Jordan Howard that's been looking like Jonathan Taylor if they keep running the ball with them a little bit more. So that's kind of just my little Hurts rant with the offense in general, man, because it's so bad on defense. Herbert can come out and score, hit 16 for 16 against our zone. Let me see Hurts go against this bullshit-ass defense we putting up, and then talk to me about numbers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just how I feel about it.
The closest that he came to facing a defense like ours was the Chiefs. They play the same type of back.
He played well.
And he had extremely high numbers. I think right. Any quarterback that's halfway decent comes up against this scheme is going to pass like Herbert did, 80-plus percent. We've seen it. So it's not like I can even say I think it. I know it.
Yeah.
I know that that these guys are going to pass for 80%. And what really bothers me is, like you said, Hurts, we've said from the jump, is not the problem. He may be a problem. Mm-hmm. But again, for where he's at and his progression as a quarterback in this league, is for as amount of starts as he had, he's doing extremely well. You know, he missed some passes against the Chargers, and that,
no doubt,
that happened. No doubt. But this is, we've said it from the jump, mm-hmm. since we've watched this team after the Atlanta game, that this mm-hmm. defense has problems. We knew it, the linebackers couldn't cover in space, but it hurts more when you've got your defense, your corners playing that far mm-hmm. off the ball, playing passively, and that's goes back to Gannon. It all comes back to him. Because even though there was times where the Eagles had missed opportunities, so running through quick the first quarter, they missed the first play. Chargers come down the field. I mean, now you remember.
98 yards.
We put him down at the two. What ticked me off was on that third and seven, and Gannon, third and seven.
Right.
Started at the 2 yard line. And Gannon puts the receivers off 10 yards off the ball. Slay standing there, having to cover 10 yards off the ball. They complete the pass for the first down.
Easy.
As soon as that happened, I said, all right, this is gonna hurt. And then, you know, their running numbers weren't very high. In fact, if you look at their stats for the run, they had a total of 27 carries for 89 yards, a 3.3 average. This was all done through the air. They had a couple of runs. I mean, Austin Ekeler had 59 yards rushing, and most of that came on that last carry of the game, where he ran it down to the 10-yard line to allow for that chip shot field goal, which we'll get into that later. But so this was all done through the air, and it was all done dinking and dunking down the field because the Eagles were giving it to them. The Chargers knew coming in, you know you've got game film on the Eagles. You're going to have a good day. Because you're going to sit there and get all these 10-yard completions. This is the one thing that I have to show as far as the stats when we talk about the first possession for the Chargers and then just the sign of things to come. Look at the time of possession for the Chargers, 33 minutes and 37 seconds to 26:23. How in the hell do they have more time of possession than us when all they're doing is passing the ball? You tell me any other team where that happens, where the that is dominant running. The guy, they're dominant running the ball.
Right.
Don't control the clock. That is because these 5 yard passes are as good as 5 yard runs. They keep the clock moving.
Point.
They're high percentage, and it's frustrating. Now, their first possession, they get it all the way down to the 2 yard line, you know, come 98 yards, and then get stopped on the fourth and goal from the two.
Yeah.
Great play to stop Allen right short of the one he was reaching for. It's beautiful job by the defense, but they shouldn't have been in that position to begin with. And then later in the first half, they go for it again on fourth down, and they don't get it. So the Eagles score, good runs from Howard getting into the end zone. Chargers finally score, come back. Eagles come down the ball. The Chargers go for a fourth down, don't get it. Eagles come down at the end of the half, and we get the play that a lot of people are hanging on Hurts. At the end of the half, where he had Smith miss the ball completely wide, overthrew him again, another bad pass in the end zone. They settle for a field goal, go into the half, 10-7. I still don't blame Hurts. If you're going to hang that on him for missing that pass, and yes, he missed it, then you got to hang that on every single good quarterback when they miss somebody in the end zone. Because he is not the first quarterback to miss somebody at the end zone at the end of a half. It's just, he's not. Right. So this is about, again, you give him, The Eagles' offense gave you a 10-7 lead going in a half. The job of that defense is to come out and stop them at the start of the third quarter, and did they? No. Chargers get the ball to start the second half, and they go right back to work. The Eagles are lucky that they got those two fourth down stops in the first half. Otherwise, this would have been the Raiders and the Tampa Bay game all over again, because it could have easily been 21-10 at half. Easily. Could have been. And they got those two fourth down stops. But you're playing with fire when you're playing that bend but don't break. That's the point
I think part of it, I think why the game didn't go out of hand, we had three 10-play drives.
Right.
Three 10-play drives. And a 16-play drive that led to that field goal. So when he misses Smith, this is what I talk about when it comes to Hurt. That was when he misses Smith and we get that field goal, that was a 16-play drive for us. 16-play drive. And we just didn't. But when you watch games, just to reiterate, like just in football, the reason why you kick the field goal is because somebody missed a touchdown throw.
Hello. Exactly.
Like that's normally which results in the fucking field goals. Like is a missed pass. Hello, and kickers do exist. So I mean, I just wanted to point that out. 3 10-play drives and a 16-play drive in that game just alone, man. You know, the first half we got, you know, we started off a little sluggish, but going into the half, you know, I felt pretty good.
Yeah.
I still felt pretty good. Like, I was like, okay, because I thought, you know, we were giving up a lot, but we still were making our stops. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't getting out of hand. You were still like, oh man, you play a little bit of defense, please. But the score wasn't running up. So long as the score wasn't changing, I was like, okay.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
We still have a chance. Yeah, Bamba don't break, no doubt.
The 2 fourth down mm-hmm. plays is what mm-hmm. kept it a 10-7 game. Right. And so I don't want to say the Eagles got lucky, but they got lucky. Mm-hmm. They were all the way down at their own goal line. The second, mm-hmm. you know, fourth down play was in the Eagles territory. Oh, yeah. It wasn't near the goal line, but it still could have resulted right. in
I mean, they could have just settled for a field goal there, not even risk it, and the game would have been, no doubt.
But the
no
Chargers doubt. Are the no type doubt. Of team to go for because they got a high-powered mm-hmm. offense. But it easily could have been 21-10 instead of 10-7. Or 17-10, mm-hmm. it could have been something like that. And the Eagles did get lucky, but that's the problem: is it come out in the second half? You can't keep doing that all game. You can't keep hoping mm-hmm. you're going to stop them. What really bugged me was, of course, the second half starts off, and it just becomes then the fireworks erupted. So the mm-hmm. Eagles' offense got into the groove in the second half. Problem is that they couldn't stop the Chargers' offense at all. Mm-hmm. So the Chargers come out, you know, score a touchdown, miss the extra point, so it's 16-10. Eagles come right back and answer, which I thought was really encouraging as far as watching the way Hurts, when the play wasn't right. there, getting flushed from the pocket, making the first downs, mm-hmm. had the big play to Goddard down the sideline. And it was nice mm-hmm. to see them answer right back and then take the lead right back 17-16. That gave me hope. Mm-hmm. But then it all came crashing down as here come the Chargers right back down the field. And I'm watching them 17-16. And it was right the first play of the fourth quarter. They got a holding penalty at the end of the third quarter, sent them back to 2nd and 20. The next play, mm-hmm. they get about 7 yards of it back, and I'm going, at the start of the fourth quarter, if the Eagles give up this play,
mm-hmm.
I will lose my freaking mind. 17-yarder to Keenan Allen over the middle, boom, Chargers in business. They go on to score a touchdown, get the 2-point conversion, and now they're sitting pretty.
And on that drive, we have to note, on that drive was a call that changed the game and really helped the Chargers. The Eagles come out and legitimately, I can't say legitimately because it was a penalty call, they get a 3-and-out. The drive that you're mentioning, that drive right. with the 2-point conversion, they came out and they stopped them. There was a bogus call on Slay.
Yes.
That continued. So I'm just saying, like, we can breeze through that drive, but that was a that was a 3-and-out. Defense came out. That was 3rd down. That was a 3-and-out. We were about to get we had just scored. We had them on the 3-and-out, right? Because we came out, we punt, or they got a field goal. They came out, they got a field goal after the half, 10-10, right? Then we punt, then they come down. They scored, I think they missed the extra point, 16-10. Yeah. Then we score, make it 17-16. And then we make it 17-16, get the ball back, 3-and-out. Uh-oh, a bogus call on Slay. And Slay gets hurt on that play.
Right.
2 major things to me I thought were major highlights of the game. That call, that just phantom call, in my opinion. Even with the announcer first said, I'm struggling with that one. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing he said. I'm cussing, you know, just sitting there like, I hear you. But I'm just like, what is that? And first thing, that, you know, it does make it a little bit better when the announcer says, that was a bad call. But it doesn't change the outcome. You know what I'm saying? So we did get a really, really, really bad call there. You know, I know a lot of times we shoot ourselves in the foot, like with Barnett and stuff like that, making silly plays. We can highlight those, but we also have to highlight the ones that go against us too. And our defense got off the field supposedly on the 3-and-out, where we would have got the ball back up 17-10. So we're talking about ifs. You know, I'm just throwing another ifs out there, you know, 17-10. We get the ball back. How are we looking? We get that bogus call, new life to the offense that's already is 16, you know, is 100% against us on the zone. You give them a new life with that bogus call. And then, like you said, they did have some trip-ups down there. They did get the holding penalty against them, and then we still gave it right back. But, you know, that momentum at this point there, they already had new life. And what you see in sports in general, whether it's a non-strike, a non-call third strike, all of a sudden the player hits the home run, the next, you go, that was a strike? then the next pitch he takes it out to win the game or something crazy. You always see a bad call followed by a score in a lot of sports, man. It's not just football. That was a really big drive for me, man. That was a really big emphasis on. And then we lose Slay for the rest of that fourth quarter.
Right.
And then Allen just starts to eat, man. Allen, 12 catches, man. God damn.
Well, yeah. That drive, you're right. The play from Williams on Slay was if anything, Williams grabbed a hold of Slay and yanked him down and caused the injury to his ankle. And I don't know what the ref was looking at, just because there was some contact. He automatically sided with Williams, and that shouldn't have happened.
That was supposed to be Eagles ball, 17-16 Eagles.
Definitely.
We're coming off of a 10-play touchdown drive. Offense is rolling. 10-play touchdown, that means your offense, you know, is rolling.
Yeah, and
then here we go. So it's little, man, little moments in the game, man, little shifts. Because the game was fairly, I mean, I know, you know, fourth down stop, you know, we did have a lot of moments where holding our breath, but hey, it's not my fault they went for it. I never felt out of the game. How about that? No matter what was going on, I always felt like the Eagles could win this game, you know, and more importantly, when it was 17-6, we get that play on Slay. Right. I'm like, this came back to us, penalty.
I never felt out of the game, but the problem was I didn't trust the defense, and that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the offense was the same thing. If we go back to that picture of Jalen Hurts, that's Jalen Hurts sitting on the bench, staring into space, not trusting the defense because they're giving up all these easy pass plays. And so, yes, they get the penalty, and that was bad. But then, like you said, at the start of the fourth quarter on that drive, they had a chance to stop them. They had them in third down. You stop them there, they force a punt, and if the Eagles can score again, then it's the same thing. But Gannon has shown time and time again, he's not into pressuring quarterbacks. He's into hoping that his front four will do it. He doesn't bring anybody additional from the blitz. He doesn't even when he does blitz, he doesn't disguise them. He's not a good defensive coordinator. And that's the heart of this problem, is that the Eagles were never out of it. And that's what makes it so much more maddening, is that the Eagles were never out of it, except that their defense could not stop Herbert and those receivers. And that falls on the coordinator, because we can both agree that it's not those guys out there covering. And at the end, like you said, they go up, they get the two-point conversion, now they're up 24-17, and Eagles' back's against the wall, but they responded, and Hurts responded. Mm-hmm. And kudos to them for coming all the way back down the field. Hurts looked like an MVP candidate-type quarterback on that drive. And it made me feel good about the offense going forward. And then to hit Smith over the middle for that 28-yarder, which Smith just took it and just ran by everybody and got into the end zone. You get it and you're tied. But the problem is I looked at that clock with 6 minutes left, and I went, this is a problem. Because even if the Eagles had left them 3 minutes, I think they would have lost that game. There was, because the way the defense was playing, that you knew that the only thing in favor was if the Eagles, maybe they could score right away, then maybe the Eagles could get the ball back and tie it up, send it in overtime.
Right.
But that wasn't the case, because they come down methodically down the field. And then, of course, you have Barnett with the false start or the encroachment. Very frustrating. Yeah. And then Eckler taking over and getting yard after yard on the ground when we know they're going to be running at the end. When they were down there in field goal range at the 30, and they actually, what was so frustrating was it was 3rd and 2, and they stopped Eckler in the backfield, and the Chargers had called a timeout right before the play, and I was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good, because they're going to go right back to it. And then all of a sudden, the Eagles weren't there, and Eckler comes down just short, but then they quarterback sneak it and get it. Next play, the handoff to Eckler, and he runs it down to the 10-yard line. Well, you know they're going to run. And that's the one thing that drives me crazy. As a defensive coordinator, you don't communicate to your staff just to bottle up the run. I'll give up the pass. I would gladly give up the pass right then and there to have him score a touchdown to at least give us a chance with some time. The one thing you do not want to happen is them to run down to the 10-yard line and be able to kneel out the clock and kick a chip shot field goal. And that's exactly what Gannon did. So with all that, that it was, with how close it was, that was the thing that made me angry. And it overall was the fact that we had it. And if we just play halfway decent defense, and it reminds me of something you said earlier. If Hurts were on a different team, then he would be able to be free, to make choices or make decisions on the field that he's not getting to make in Philadelphia.
I think he would thrive. Like, I think if you swapped him out with like Justin Fields, not saying we can get Justin Fields. I didn't think Justin Fields was that good at Ohio State. I thought they had a really good running game in Sermon that carried a lot of that offense. I think if you put him out there in Chicago, I think if you put him out there in Frisco, I think that, you know, since we're on that topic, I wonder if we could put it in like a percentages base, like a weighted score as far as like the situation in Philadelphia. Like what are our, I think it's 90% our coaching staff. I'm going to just group them as a whole. 90% our coaching staff, because it starts with the head, and it could be 10% our quarterback. We may need a more experienced quarterback for what they're dealing with in Philadelphia. I don't think Jalen Hurts is having time to develop. I feel like he's almost in a win now mentality. And hell, I mean, I don't know if it's just because, and I think you also have to factor in, if we're doing 110%, that the plan in Philadelphia has an extra weighted factor. Because, but you know, Daniel Jones been stinking it up for years up there he's stinking it up. Nobody cares. You know, they'll win here and there, but most of the time you'll see the games, he'll be a meme. He'll laugh and stop. You know, you got Fields who, you know, they're a little hard on him, but they know he's a rookie, so they're just kind of like, whatever, just let him make his mistakes. But I think Hurts playing in Philadelphia, man, I think that's hurting him. I think that's hurting him based off of the situation. The second time I've said this, based off the situation that happened with him being there with Hurts in the Washington game. I just think it's just not an ideal situation for a young quarterback when they should have ideal situations in order to thrive. I think that's a lot of times, man, you need a strong running back. Most young quarterbacks that do well, Russell Wilson, a strong running back, you know, and Lynch, strong defense. So you can have time to develop. Then you go, damn, this dude's Superman. Because he had time to develop. You have Dak Prescott, for instance. Man, those first couple years with Zeke, man, Zeke was unstoppable. They got drafted together. Zeke was unstoppable. Right. Zeke was unstoppable. So Dak was stinking it up. He was stinking it up those few years. But Zeke held them on, you know, because he had a running back. You take another quarterback that's young. What's his name? I think the reason why even Tannehill's been able to thrive in Tennessee is because of Derrick Henry.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you win an incredible game against the Rams. I'm just trying to pick young quarterbacks that if they don't have a good run game or a solid run game, I think Trevor Lawrence can struggle down there because his run game, you got James Robinson, so it's really all on him. You see the 0-6 or whatever they were started out. When you have young quarterbacks that don't have good running backs, they thought Barkley was going to save Jones, and when he's in there, he does.
Yeah.
But when you don't have it at the Jets, I don't care how many quarterbacks they get up there in New York, if they don't have a solid running back, those quarterbacks won't matter.
Right.
Buddy from BYU was killing it last year. He looks terrible, Wilson. He looks terrible. He's like, he shouldn't even be in the league. He looks small. I'm like, man, he looks so small on that field. He's frail. He'll have his moments, but I'll take Mike White. Give me Mike White any day over Wilson right now. But anyway, I don't want to rant about other teams. I'm just trying to paint the situation of that weighted system of what's really going on. I feel like we're repeating ourselves every week. Man, Gannon, Buffer, you know, it's kind of like we're beating ourselves. You know, it's like, what's really going on? Maybe we do need a more experienced quarterback to be with Sirianni.
Yeah.
To help his ass too. Like, hey, man, what are you doing, bro? This ain't.
I think Sirianni has his issues, and we know that his offensive play calling, but at least the one thing that Sirianni has done that Gannon has not is that Sirianni's changed. When people started hammering him for not running the ball, he started running the ball, and he has not stopped. And it has led to success on the offensive side of the ball. And Jalen, I believe, does have a running back But we weren't using that running back in the first six games of the season.
That's a good point, too.
Because he had Sanders, and then they used him in these crazy, that crazy screen that got him hurt, nearly got him killed. And so he's got that running back that he could thrive with, but they weren't using him. And now he does have a system, and you're seeing Howard and Scott kind of give that protection to Hurts. So I don't think the problem lies with Sirianni at this point.
Okay.
I think what we talked about a few weeks ago when I said the reason we're here is Howie Roseman, I believe that because he's the one who brings in the personnel, and so does Sirianni, and signs off on Gannon. And Gannon right now is stinking up the joint. Gannon's scheme has been bad from day one. It's not going to succeed. And as long as he continues to do it, we will fail as a defense. And you've got good talent on there, but it can't succeed. And the point I was going to make that you made for me was that if you put Jalen Hurts in place of Justin Fields in Chicago, that is a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Because their defense, if Jalen had a defense that could hold opponents to 20-plus points a game, the Eagles would have won more games this year so far. Right. And it's not and getting time of possession, getting the ball back in his hands. Right now, we've won the time of possession battle once all year, and that was against Detroit. And 0-17. Every other team has beaten us with time of possession, but they're not doing it with the run. They're doing it with the pass, and that's what's frustrating. So coming out of this game, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth going forward. You look at the rest of the schedule, it's favorable, but you don't have any optimism because you're not seeing the production that the defense needs to be provided. I think that I've, now that I've seen Edwards play a little bit more and Davion Taylor, I'm starting to think that the linebackers may not even be that much of a problem. It's that scheme.
It's the scheme. I think it comes down to scheme. I really do.
So.
I think it comes down to placement. Speaking of scheme, just one more point.
Yeah.
You remember when Herbert lined up for the quarterback sneak, but then they called the timeout. I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, how is nobody covering, the one and two or A and B gaps? I'm like, how is there nobody?
Mm-hmm.
Then you come out and they really do run it, and we bring Epps down to cover the B gap.
Yeah.
What? And then he doesn't even attempt to go for Herbert. He goes around and almost lost it. I'm like, but I'm thinking, man, can Gannon coach that? Or can Epps has to know it's a quarterback sneak? Why aren't you Epps wanted? No part.
Yeah.
Of the quarterback sneak, man. But why do we have a safety down in there on the quarterback sneak, man? There's so many ways you can go about it. We had one linebacker there when we know they're about to sneak the ball. That's too easy. It's just shit like that, man, that when I see it, I'm just like, you're not even giving us a chance, Gannon. You're not even giving us a chance. And that's where the frustration comes in, that where you feel like you're not even giving the team a chance. And we watched plenty of games, and you made the point, I've made the point multiple times, that they don't have confidence in what they're doing.
Right.
You can see it in their eyes. You can look at the defense. You can look how they're looking at the sideline. They don't have confidence in what they're doing.
They're not
going to be harder.
They're not having a good time, that's for sure, because they're not producing. They're not getting the big plays. They're not getting a chance to get interceptions. And like I said, we have a successful game, and then he falls right back on this garbage scheme. So clearly Gannon is out of his depth at what he's doing. And there's just about anybody in the league that could come in and do a better job. And I mean that sincerely. You know, you hate to be that Eagle fan that just always has to rag on him, but the truth of the matter is this guy is not meant to be a defensive coordinator if he's going to continue to do this scheme. He has the choice right now. He's seen it work in Detroit to go back to that for the Denver game, and we'll see if he does or not. So that remains to be seen. We're going to cover that tomorrow on the live stream. We're going to cover the Denver game that's coming up. But before we leave today, we got one of my favorite segments that we just started up doing. And this one, talking about the stats from Sunday's game, this leads perfectly into it. And the segment is called
Hell to the No, to the No, 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 No. Hell, No, No, to the No, No. Hell to the No, No. To the No, 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 No. Hell to the No, No.
This is Hell to the No when you're looking at the screen right now. If you can see the screen, it is Jalen Reagor, our first round pick from a couple years ago. And you see his stat line from the Charger game. Now, look at all, as well as the offense did, Goddard had a good day. Watkins had a decent day. Smith, of course, had a bang-up day on Sunday. This is our number one draft pick. This is our 5'11", 197-yard receiver that we picked with a second to 21st pick in the draft. He had minus 6 yards, one reception, and that was a backwards pass that he didn't know what to do. This isn't Smith's fault. This isn't Goddard's fault. This is definitely not Hurts' fault. These other guys are doing well, and this guy's got to step up. And that's, you know, when you look at that stat, that definitely leads into the hell to the nod. This guy's got to do better. So we've been talking a lot about the defense, and we know that the offense produced, you know, they came within a field goal of winning that game. But this is, we can't have this if we're going to go forward and be productive as a team.
You remember last week?
Yeah, go ahead.
When Rager got hurt on that play, and I text you like, man, he's clumsy.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, just trying to get into the end. You know, I remember I texted you, like, such a clumsy move, or just Rager's route running. Remember, he stepped out of bounds when that could have been a touchdown one game. There's so many little things out there, man, that are just – that's why I have so much fire for Hurts, because I'm like, man, I don't think this guy is getting a fair shake here. I have no cut card. If you suck, you suck. Be the first person to tell you suck.
Yeah.
But if I feel like you don't suck – and people are treating you like you suck, and then that's where I'm like, man, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity, especially everything that we have went through with this Wentz situation. If we get rid of Hurts and Wentz not there and not Doug Peterson, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should have just fired Schwartz.
Yeah.
Not drafted Hurts and just kept Wentz, because it feels like we're about to get right back into a situation, or it's going to just lead to a situation where everything just kind of breaks down. So I just, you know, that just being in that chat, man, just kind of really fired me up, because I was thinking to myself, like, man, there's so many mixed emotions in there. First of all, you're coming off a loss, so you're always going to have, you know, high emotions. But it wasn't even about that. It's about the consistent, just the people's, everybody has a different perspective, and you know, respect that. I get that. But I don't know, man. I think this guy, I think if you see, I don't see the offensive players. Okay. When you have a bad quarterback, a bad leader, you'll see the players respond or look at him or cuss him out on the sideline or have these little altercations or, man, but you don't see that. You don't really see them in Hurts' face. You don't see.
No.
We have a lot of goofy-ass plays, too, man. When hell to the nose, should have been Driscoll, again, just tackling our own quarterback. He swiped the ball one game. Goofy Driscoll's goofy.
Yeah, we definitely
need some goofy-ass plays and really bad moments. Those are both really bad moments. To be goofy,
we definitely need Brooks or at least Seumalo back at the guard spot, because Driscoll's stinking up the joint too, and it's really frustrating. But yeah, it to me, that hell to the gnaw, looking at Rager's stat line and looking at what he's done all year, and then looking at the fact that our second round pick from a couple years ago as well, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, is just riding the bench. It all leads back to Howie Roseman, like we said a few weeks ago, is that this whole situation, including Gannon, is on Howie. And if it continues this way, then it's a matter of you got to blow it all up. And Howie's got to go too. Gannon's got to go. I'm willing to give Sirianni a chance on offense, because the offense is starting to produce and he's starting to make adjustments. But if that leads to Jalen Rager riding the bench for Ward, then so be it. Because remember when he got hurt, we were like, well, this may not be a bad thing. And sure enough, Ward plays better than he does right now. He's bigger and stronger. So you really even can't even say anything about the size, because Devontae Smith is not a big dude, but yet he's out there producing. Jalen Rager just isn't getting open, and he isn't making the catches that he needs to. So
maybe he's just another Nelson Aguilar just doesn't work for us. Nelson Aguilar is better than him. So
shout out
Nelson Aguilar, first of all. Sorry. You know, I know you disappointed us after the Super Bowl, but you do have a ring with us.
Exactly.
We always love you.
Yeah.
But, man, maybe Rager is just not good.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing, too. He could just not be a good quarterback in this scheme, wide receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not good. Same thing with JJ. You know, maybe his pass blocking can only take him so far. He stopped doing that now. So I'm just so fed up and pissed, man. It's just like, I don't even know.
The thing that frustrates me about Jalen Rager is that we were watching that draft together, and I said, we both said Justin Jefferson was the guy. Justin Jefferson was the pick. And then we try to outthink ourselves by going with a 5'11", 190-pound receiver that dropped a lot of balls at TCU. Let's go back to that. He was known for dropping balls at TCU, and yet we pick him 21st overall, and Justin Jefferson goes 22nd. So, again, when you're making that kind of decisions, you're setting the team up. The team would be totally different right now with Justin Jefferson there instead of Rager. It really would. Granted, even the bad defense, this team would be more powerful than it is right now with the Justin Jefferson or even a DK Metcalf that we could have had instead of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So this goes back to Howie. I meant to pick on Gannon this podcast. I really did. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it does go back to Howie. So
it always goes back to Howie. I feel you.
And that leads us to the meme of the week. This, as always, will be on our Audible and our Spotify kind of cover art for the week. And this one, I really can relate to that. This is a picture of an Eagles fan with the jersey that's this UGH, A-U-G-H. And I love the caption. It says, the perfect jersey doesn't exist. And there it is. I wonder where I can get that jersey, because right now that's the one we need to be wearing. It's sad. You know, we just come off of Super Bowl 2017. We had a couple of decent years afterwards because of the turmoil. Last year, just completely a 4-12 debacle, just not good. What was it, 4-13 last year? Or was it 4-12, 5-12, 4-12, 4-13? Whatever it was. I think it was 4-13. And then we come into this, and now we're already sitting there at 3-6, and we're right there with the Giants and the Redskins, with the NFC least yet again. So this is...
You know what I think really pissed me off? Sorry, man, I'm a little fired up.
Go for it.
You know what really pissed me off? Was I was having such a good day because the Cowboys lost. I mean, the Cowboys lost. I was just sliding through the kitchen in my socks. I always feel really good when the Cowboys lose. And I felt like, I'm just a sucker for my Eagles, man. I felt like, oh, if we win this game, we're only 3 games from the Cowboys. And we played them one more time. You know, just trying to just, you know, and then you see the highlights where you say, where it shows that before that game, prior to that game, and after the Cowboys lost, the Eagles are one game out of making the playoffs. You go, what? How is that even possible?
Yeah.
And it fires you up. And then, you know, overall, you know, of course, we're going to scrutinize our Eagles. You know, it was a good football game. You know, one punt from the Birds in the second half, I mean, it wasn't a shitty offensive. You know, you want those touchdowns. Hell, I want a touchdown every drive. But like I said, field goals come from missed touchdowns. There's a lot of field goals being kicked in the NFL. So I had a lot of hope, man. I really thought we could beat the Chargers. I really did, man.
Should have.
But I was not prepared for Herbert going 16 for 16. Silly me. Yeah. 16 for 16 against our zone.
No, I hear you.
Man. 16 for 16. I said, oh. How do you keep a job? I mean, name me a job you can be 100% bad in and still keep it.
Yeah, I know. That's what we're talking about.
We talked about jobs, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about jobs. I'm talking about Jonathan Gannon. You know, if he worked anywhere else in the world, he'd have been fired by now doing this poor of a job. And just to reiterate, I did look at the last year's results. And I forgot about the tie that we had. That's why I was getting my brain wasn't working. We went 4-11-1. So great season last year, and we're heading right now. We're not even at 4 wins yet. We got a shot to beat last year's win record, and that's basically all we got to really look forward to this year. Is can we eclipse 4 wins? Because everything else, I can't even hope for right now. Mm-hmm. But before we go, we've got one last question we have to answer, and this is a kind of an interesting one. No news yet, but he hits the going to be hitting the waiver wire here soon, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. And the question is should the Eagles make a play for him if he's available on the waiver wire when it gets to the Eagles? Because right now I think they've got like their eighth in the order, something like that.
So the waiver wire, I think it ended, 2 hours ago?
Did it?
Or was it tomorrow at 4 Eastern? Today at 4 Eastern or tomorrow 4 Eastern? But I don't think you should come to the Eagles. Not with Jalen Hurts. I just don't think he needs I don't think it'll help Jalen to have a guy in his ear saying, hey, throw me the ball. Hey, you know, when he was still trying to go through your own progressions, I don't think we want him to force the ball anywhere. And hell, I think we're 1 or 2 years away from Devontae Smith being an Odell type player. I think Devontae can be one of the best. I think he can be one of the best receivers in the league. His route running is just impeccable. A is razor sharp, man. And his hands are good. I mean, he has his moments, but do I want Odell? Nah, and Odell's not coming there. I think he probably go. You know, I like to see him with, man. Not that I don't want him to go there, but the Rams, he would blow the roof off with the Rams. I don't know. What you think, man?
All right. So here's the deal right now. Here's the updated news. So, yes, you're right. The waiver wire cleared at 4 o'clock today, and no one picked up Odell Beckham. So he's out there.
Because of that contract.
Yeah, exactly. So
because of the big contract.
Right now.
He'll be signed by tomorrow, probably. It's
looking like the top destination, if he cleared waivers, would be the Packers. So that they could renegotiate, and now he can pick and choose where he wants to go. So that's the news coming out of the NFL right now.
Is that
Odell Beckham is going to probably be a Packer. We'll see what happens. My personal opinion as far as the Eagles, this is just Howie B and Howie again. I think that it wouldn't have hurt. It all depends on, like you said, the contract. We would have to have him clear waivers and then renegotiate. We're not going to give him the money he wants because we were sitting there with so much dead cap money. Because of the Wentz contract, we can't afford to pay him the current contract he's on. So what we'll have to do is we would have to renegotiate something, give him a 1-2 year deal. He's not going to accept that. I did read that Slay was reaching out to him, trying to get him to come to the Eagles. Because when we talk about Jalen Reagor and his underperformance, I think that it would help Smith be a better receiver. But the problem with that is the problem that Odell Beckham was in Cleveland. He doesn't want to be the number two guy. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He still wants to be that number one guy that's out there dominating the league when he's not really physically. He's not that guy anymore. So
100%. He's at best the second receiver.
Yeah.
So. At best the second receiver. Probably a good slot receiver. He still has a lot left in the tank, though. He's still a hell of an athlete, but he's coming off some pretty serious injuries back-to-back years. Ankle, ACL here. You know, he's coming off some pretty significant injuries. So,
I think
good luck, though, I guess.
I think if he ends up with the Packers, it's probably good for both sides. It wouldn't have been good for us. We're not going to get anywhere with him. So, you know, whatever. It was just something that just kind of has to be asked when you're looking at a player of that caliber being there. And especially when there's still games left in the season where the Eagles could make a run, especially with their schedule, but it's not going to be in the cards for us as far as that goes. I think they need to start planning for next year, start looking at what they got. If those three draft picks in the first round, they got a really good draft for next year. Just how he can't screw it up. He can't draft another Jalen Reagor or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and that's the problem. If he is going to go about doing that, and that's the kind of receivers he's going to get us, then he has to go. He has to go with Gannon. He has to go with Sirianni. We got to blow it up. Bring in a new staff, somebody that has football knowledge, because Howie's clearly shown he doesn't have that knowledge to build the team through the draft. He can pick wide, free agents up all day long, because he's shown he can do that and make some free agent deals. He did that in 2017, and it was genius. But he can't draft. He's never been able to draft, and that's going to be a problem. So, yeah, good luck to Odell wherever he goes up. Looking at what's coming up, we're going to discuss this tomorrow night. It is the Eagles at Denver, at Mile High. Of course, Denver with the huge win over Dallas this past week. And no, I don't think anybody saw that coming. And even if they thought Denver might win that game, you did not see them being that dominant in Dallas, which is crazy.
Nobody did.
So we're not going to go into our predictions today on this game, but that is what we've got coming up, and we will discuss that tomorrow. Now, you said you are going to be at that game, correct?
I am, man. I am. And tomorrow I got a gig, man. I'm a food truck working tomorrow, so we have to work out something. Well, we got to work out a time that we're going to do it. But, yeah, I got picked up. If you're in the local area, I will be at Deuces Wild Brewery. Come see Tubby's food truck.
Hey, we could have the podcast. We could have the podcast sponsored by your food truck. There's nothing wrong with that. We could start everything.
Yeah, man, we'll sort that out. But as far as the game, yeah, man, me and the wife, we will be at the game. This Sunday. I can't wait, man. I'm really excited. It's a 2 o'clock game here. It was a late game. Man, Eagles, man.
I know.
Late out here. That's weird. Well, they normally play at 2 o'clock in Denver. But
right.
Yeah, man, I got the 2 o'clock game. So nice get up, driving to Denver and chill out, man. Enjoy the game. See my birds. Get some nice videos, man. Every time they come into town, every time I see them anywhere, I just, you know, try to get all my videos and just try to take it all in, man. Try to get the best seats I can and take it all in.
win or lose, we still love him. And so it that's what makes it hard when you're dealing with a situation like this. And like we said, the whole podcast is that this game against the Chargers was so disappointing because they had a chance to win, because the offense played well enough to get the W, and it was just left on the field by our defensive performance. I you could lay anything on Hurts for that game and the missed passes, but overall, he played as well as he could play. Granted, he was 11 of 17, but that's intangible. He only got 17 right. passes. Herbert missed, you know, six passes. Mm-hmm. So, and one of them was spiking to the ground. But he threw
Herbert the ball. Wasn't going against. They wasn't playing against the same defense.
He threw the ball 38 times to Jalen 17. So Jalen ran the ball extremely well. This mm-hmm. last one on the is all. On the defense and on Gannon. Mm-hmm. So we'll see at Denver what he does as far as does
yes, sir.
Gannon revert back to the Lions D, because maybe he comes under fire this week and maybe he gives up that stupid shell coverage back in 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, bend but don't break garbage. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. I'll believe it when I see it. So,
all right, man.
That's just the way it is. But we'll be back, if not tomorrow, to discuss the Broncos game. We may be back on Thursday. We'll let you all know. So if you want to know and you want to follow us, just any of the live streaming services that we're on, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and Twitch, just give us a like, a subscribe, and then we'll be able to let you know whenever we're going live. You'll get a notification. Also, on any of the podcast providers that we are on quite a few. We're on Audible and Stitcher, Amazon Music. We're on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts, Podcaster and Castro. So if you see us on there, give us a like and you'll know when our podcasts are on. So you can follow us, listen to your car, listen to anywhere you want. I'd say listen to us at work, but everybody's working from home these days, unless they have a food truck. So most people could just listen to us or see the live stream. You could listen to it in the food truck. You just play it while you're serving.
I do actually.
Tell people this is the best podcast going right now. And you're in Denver playing an Eagles podcast, so. Anyway, we will be back later on this week to discuss that Broncos game. Until then, we got Tubby's final words of the day.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. See you soon.